UK and start generating more business today for your Kent business.
Jobsinkent.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, June the 21st, with me, Paul Andrews, and the marvellous Martin White.
Good afternoon.
And that was a track, as I said, that's a new and unsigned track, and I hope you liked it. It was something a bit different. Have you got something that you want to share with us, Martin?
I have indeed. I've got a fantastic tweet here from someone that has made a career out of sloping off.
So I bet I know who that is.
Jules Serkin has tweeted.
I know. Is she still sober? It's 2:05 in the afternoon. She can't be sober at this time of the day.
She's actually now created an event called Slope Off Friday. So not only is it now Slope Off Monday through Thursday for Jules, but she's now actually got an
incorporated Friday
to Slope Off on a Friday, and it is a networking lunch at the Crescent Hotel in Margate. It's on July the 1st from 2 p.m. And when I say from 2 p.m. it's open-ended, because I think the last one went on till gone 10 p.m.
Yeah,
and Andrew Knott, I think, was
stretched home.
Was late for dinner. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Friday, July the first. I think it's going to be the first Friday in every month. 2 p.m. at the Crescent Hotel in Margate. Jules will be there, sloping off yet again.
Cool. Look forward to it. I had loads more tweets. I mentioned earlier the lovely Amanda Flanders at B&D Events, Butterflies and Dreams, Butterflies 2019 on the Twitter. She has followed up with another tweet. Says, great show as always today, Vanilla Web. Please can you give me one of your wonderful shout-outs again, and what colour is it today? That's a reference to my shirt, by the way. It is blue and pink stripes today.
It looks a bit like that one Ronnie Barker used to wear in, was it Porridge?
It does, actually, yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you for that. And I have a little pocket chief of the same colour. There you go. So that's a fashion update for today.
Linda Garcia has tweeted in. She says, hashtag BBunker, please say a big hello to all the women in business who will be enjoying lunch at Chilston Park. Sorry, we'll miss the show. So that sounds delightful.
It's Deborah Turner and people from the Federation of Small Business have their Women in Business lunch today, as you quite rightly say, at Chilston Park near Lenham. So I hope it's going well, ladies, and I'm sure you'll all listen to the catch-up service when you get home tonight.
Yet another event that us men weren't invited to.
Yeah. Well, I do get to go to quite a few of those, to be honest.
We went through that last time.
Yeah, we did. I did see, I don't know if you've seen this, but the Department of Education have now, this might affect you as well, Nigel, have now said that they are no longer going to impose dress codes on pupils. If boys want to wear skirts and girls want to wear trousers to school, they are perfectly entitled to do it. Tutu time is all I'm going to say. Pink tutu time.
I'm going to stick with the golf theme because we've had a tweet.
Because you know nothing else.
Because we've had a tweet from Neville Gaunt.
Hello, Nev.
Who asks the question, is your mind fit for golf? And right. If anybody saw how Dustin Johnson managed to keep it together during the final round of the US Open, when the USGA had come up to him and said, do you know what, we might penalise you a stroke at the end of the round because we think you moved your golf ball when you shouldn't have. But we're not going to tell you now. We'll tell you later. If anyone saw how he managed to keep it together and the shots he hit in that final round, then that's all about being mind fit. And Neville has actually published a book, I believe, which is all about being mind fit for golf. So that's Neville Gaunt.
Yeah, do give Neville a follow, or Mind Fit Golf on the Twitter. Give them a follow. We've had a tweet from My Tenterton, and their Twitter handle is Tenterton Town. And they say, Vanilla Web, we'd love a shout-out, please. We have a new website for Tenterton called mytenterton.co.uk. And it's a business listing and an events listing and all that kind of thing. So do check out the website, mytenterton.co.uk, or give Tenterton Town a follow on Le Twitter. Thank you. I think we'll do one or two more, and then we will talk to our lovely next guest. What do you reckon, Martin?
Yeah. Stephen Connor has tweeted in response to the suggestion that some people might be sloping off on Friday the 1st of July to say some of us will be working. So,
yeah, and?
I don't think he'll be going.
It doesn't sound like it, does it? Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. But he's a cabbie part of the time. Ooh. So he can be working there. So it's
he could combine the two, couldn't he?
Exactly. So you see, you've got to think about this. You've got to be innovative. He could get lots of fares from there because they're all going to be
exactly
worse for wear. I nearly said something else. They're all going to be a little bit tired and emotional after lunch, aren't they?
If I were you, Stephen, I'd ring Jules Serkin and do her a special return journey to and from the Crescent Hotel in Margate. Special fare just for Jules.
Absolutely. I'd add a zero to it because by then time she'd be goggle-eyed. She won't know what's going on.
And pop in for some lunch while you're there. Why not?
Absolutely. We've had a tweet from GSI Commercial, who are insurance brokers, who say, could we have a shout-out, please? We're listening to the Business Monk Show and thoroughly enjoying it. Of course you can. That's GSI Commercial on the Twitter. And the Ghost Hunter, you remember him earlier that we didn't think was real? He is, because he said thank you for the shout-out.
I wondered what that door was closing behind.
It was a disembodied voice came out of the ether and said, figure, or something. Anyway, enough of that nonsense. This show is going rapidly down the pan, as always, so let's bring it back on track by talking to someone utterly, utterly sensible. Yeah, that would be a first for the show, wouldn't it, almost? But it's an absolute pleasure to welcome, for the first time, onto the Business Bunker show, the lovely Annie Watcham of Grierson's Gallery. Annie, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to see you. Why don't you kick off by telling the listener a little bit about Annie and a little bit about what you do?
Thank you very much, Paul. Well, I'm basically a journalist by trade, have been forever.
Don't say a word, Martin. She's a journalist. We didn't know that. She's writing it down.
She's going to ask us all sorts of questions.
She
about
is,
Brexit
yeah.
in a minute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, worked in London forever in the 80s, moved from London to Kent in the early 90s, and I've always been an entrepreneur at heart, wanting to take opportunities, put people together, take opportunities, not always the right ones, but hey. And it's been an interesting life, an interesting journey. The journey still goes on, and I am now the very proud owner of Grierson Galleries in Sevenoaks.
Mm-hmm.
Which opened last week.
Had wow.
a grand opening, opened by the mayor of Sevenoaks, who was absolutely charming and delightful. And as I say, it's been a very interesting journey as to how we got there. In 2008, I mentioned to a Gurkha campaigner that perhaps he should get Joanna Lumley involved with the Gurkha justice campaign.
Yep.
It was an off-the-cuff comment in Cranbrook, where I live, and that off-the-cuff comment has led to where I am with my team today.
It's amazing how these things come about, isn't it? We were talking earlier about networking and talking with Nigel about going out and talking to people. That really is where these opportunities arise, though, isn't it? Because you never know. You just never know what would spring out of a conversation with random people.
Absolutely, Paul. And I think it's all about taking opportunities. Mm-hmm. Because what happened is I made this comment and I kept seeing Joanna Lumley on the television with the Gurkhas.
I kept seeing her in Waitrose.
She gets everywhere.
Yeah, well, she used to live in Malvenden. I live in Tenston, you live in Cranbrook.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it wasn't until the following year, 2009, that I realised that my off-the-cuff comment had led to Peter Carroll, who was part of the Gurkha Justice Campaign, getting Joanna Lumley involved.
Right.
And I saw outside the newsagent in Cranbrook, I saw an A-board saying, Cranbrook woman instrumental in Gurkha success. And it was that light bulb moment. I thought, it's me.
Right.
And I'd become known as the mystery woman because Peter Carroll couldn't remember who it was who'd made the comment. Anyway, press frenzy, because you mentioned Joanna Lumley, press frenzy. And it ended up with Joanna coming to Cranbrook to meet me, having tea in my garden with champagne, actually. And eventually got to know her extremely well. But that actually, with my sort of journalistic entrepreneurial brain, ended up with me starting up something called Gurkha Business Community website, and I had no idea why, because by now I was getting into the Nepalese, the Gurkha world. And through that, I had lots of ex-Gurkhas get in touch. I helped them, and if I didn't know answers to their questions, I could find out. By then, we were beginning to get to know a lot of Nepalese people as well. And life took off in a different direction that I could never have anticipated. And the Gurkha business community website led to an ex-Gurkha, a wonderful, wonderful man called Pemba Lama, getting in touch with me, saying, I have a manuscript of recipes. He was a chef for the for the Gurkhas that I've compiled from around the world. My travels as a Gurkha, would you be interested in looking at it? Well, I did journalism and publishing at college. So basically, you know, is the Dalai Lama a Buddhist? So do this book. And in 2012, I brought out The Ultimate Nepalese Cookbook.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which won 2 world awards.
Fantastic.
And that was part of my company called Grierson Publications. And so this exciting journey was getting more and more exciting.
I absolutely love stories like this. This is the heart of entrepreneurship. It's where it is. I occasionally lecture, as one does, at the London School of Economics to MBA students. And one of the problems I have with MBAs and stuff, I don't have a problem with MBAs, but one of the things is they try to process, drive everything and make it into a tick list. And, you know, if you do this, you do this, you do this. But entrepreneurship just doesn't work like that, does it? It is totally random. The nearest thing you can equate it to is evolution. It's random selection and survival of the fittest idea, really, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And you know, it even now I sometimes pinch myself and think, my goodness, my journey since 2008 when I made this chance comment. And, you know, believe me, since then I have made some mistakes. I think we all have. And, you know,
it wouldn't be fun if you didn't.
It wouldn't be fun. I could have done without some of the fun on the way. But, hey, here I am. And so my journey has very much led me to working with the nicest people I could imagine in the entire world. I mean, working with the Nepalese can be incredibly frustrating, but I love you all. And the Gurkhas in particular, helping them. I do CVs for Gurkhas as well, retired Gurkhas. And, you know, talking to Nigel earlier about when they come out of the army, you know, sometimes they're lost. What do they do?
Absolutely.
So that all ties in. But the journey that I've made now is my partner, just before Christmas, made a comment about an art gallery that we might be able to use. And the precursor to that is 3 years ago, I made friends with a Nepalese guy on Facebook called N.B. Gurung. I think it was 3 years, maybe 4 years ago. Never met the guy. We communicate every day through Messenger, whatever. And he is a fabulous artist.
Right.
And I started to bring his art over here.
And is he based in Nepal?
He's based in Kathmandu.
Right, okay.
He lives and works in Kathmandu with his little family. My daughter's met him. I haven't met him because my daughter's lived in Nepal.
Right.
So I saw the potential of his art, and it is really going places. You know, people, the art is beginning to go all over the world.
Right.
So this is part of the Grierson story, you know, Grierson Publications, the Nepalese cookbook, Grierson Galleries. My partner made a comment before Christmas saying, where would you like to exhibit this art? Because this art was piling up, you know. We did some shows and things, we sold it, but, you know, the house was getting too small for the art. We came up with Seven Oaks, and my wonderful brother is an architect in Seven Oaks and had this fantastic building called the Armory.
Right.
And that was another chance comment or thought, and we actioned that thought and thought, yeah, we could use this space. It's a phenomenal space. And we thought, Seven Oaks doesn't have anything like this. We did our research. And it doesn't. And the mayor, when he opened the exhibition and indeed Grierson Gallery on Thursday, said, Seven Oaks has nothing like this. This is a superb, beautiful space. And we want to pull in local artists. We have people from over the world beginning to talk to us about coming exhibitions. So this is the journey. It's very, very exciting. And I pinch myself.
I just want to kind of move a little bit to talk about something here that I've kind of experienced just recently as well, based on what you were saying, but moving away from the art side of it into the business side of it just for a moment, but I want to come back in a moment. I'm totally on board with everything you said, and we were discussing off air beforehand the fact that I've just staged an art exhibition for Canterbury College students.
Absolutely.
In one of my spaces, and I have a space which is a beautiful space for exhibiting art. But in the long run, I couldn't ever use that space full time because the cost of space is just too high to do something like that. Is your gallery, Grissom Gallery, is that a permanent gallery or is it a temporary thing that you're using? How do you see that going forward?
At the moment, we've got it for at least a year.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Which is amazing. Absolutely. Because that gives us time to show Seven Oaks the world what we can do, what we can offer.
Mm.
So we're very privileged to have that for at least a year.
Absolutely. And the southeast of England particularly is difficult because property is just so expensive.
Exactly.
And nice property. And you really need somewhere that's cool and funky to display art at its best. Is really difficult, isn't it? We have a tiny time. Funny enough, my oldest son took me out for Father's Day on Sunday to Osgar's, the Turkish restaurant in Tenston, which is lovely. And next door there's a gallery called 166 Gallery.
I know, yeah.
Yeah. And we both walked past it and we went, I wonder if they've ever sold anything in there.
I've been in there.
Yeah, it's a fabulous place, isn't
Beautiful.
It? It's a lovely little place, but it's tiny. And they tend to just have one artist on display in there. But I have no idea whether it works as a business or not at all. I really don't know. But we were trying to figure out whether it could work as a business or not, and who knows. But
it's a beautiful space. I have been in there.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, this is part of my journey, and it's new to us. We're learning all the time.
Right.
And I think part of the business side of it is to know, or hope you know, what your market is, who you're actually selling to. And I think one of the joys about Sevenoaks is it's half an hour by train from London.
Yep.
And it's a great area. I mean, there are people there who are very, very interested in art. And that sounds very flip. I don't mean it to. But there are, because we're meeting them.
Absolutely. No, Sevenoaks is a lovely town. It has the right demographic for that kind
absolutely,
of thing,
yeah.
Which is, I think, what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right, it does. But, of course, they haven't had a gallery before for all the reasons that we've just explored.
There are galleries. There are galleries, but they're very different to what we're offering. I mean, just give a little example of how special our space is. It's on Austin Drive, and Jane Austen actually lived in the building where we're exhibiting the art. So we've got a lot to live up to.
Absolutely. But it's fabulous to have things like that, isn't it? And to have the history to a space that can add to the whole experience of viewing things in a space like that. I just want to come back a little bit to your cookbook. You published a cookbook, Nepalese Food. We do have, round the corner from the studio here. See, I'm getting all hungry now. There is a Nepalese restaurant, actually, in Hythe called The Everest, and I've eaten there quite a few times.
Yes.
And Nepalese food is different, isn't it? People assume it's very similar to Indian-type curries or Bangladeshi curries, but it's not. It is radically different.
It is different. I mean, knowing Pemba Lama, the ex-Gurkha chef, who's a very dear friend of ours, he has educated us hugely. He's a fabulous chef, but the way he cooks, it's a fabulous mix of herbs and spices. It's very layered. Yes, it can be hot if you want to make it hot. You know, just put in the chilies, because they tend to just eat the chilies as a side dish, which makes our eyes water. But it's much more subtle. And the Everest Inn group I know extremely well. Very, very dear friends and business partners of ours. So do try their food.
It's fantastic. It
really
is. Because they've got more than one restaurant as well, I understand.
Yeah, they're in Hythe, they're in Blackheath, they're in Ashford, and New Zealand, and also a couple up north, further up north. So,
okay.
So around this area, you're spoilt for choice.
Right, okay.
Do visit them because they are phenomenal. And also what I would say is the service in there, you will never forget it.
I can second that, having eaten in the one in Hythe. Funnily enough, I live probably nearer Ashford, but I've never been to the Ashford one. So I might check that out. But the one in Hythe I've certainly been to for quite a few times.
Tell them Annie sent you.
I will. And ask for me discount.
Can't guarantee it.
No.
They're not going to do a dual circuit.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, hello, know Annie.
Eat there once, put it on social media and expect to eat there free for the rest of
your life. Yeah, exactly, yeah. The cookbook itself is called?
It's called The Ultimate Nepalese Cookbook. It's actually out of print now. However, it is downloadable onto Android and onto iPhone, iPad, etc. In English or Spanish. And there's also an app, the Ultimate right. Nepalese Cookbook app, you can download for free.
Okay.
Take a look at that. It has sold all over the world. In fact, I'm very proud to say that the furthest I know an actual copy has gone is to Alice Springs.
Wow.
So
how do they really get that out there?
Oh, you know, well, the power of the internet. But, you know, hey,
post,
so that really,
oh, yeah.
it costs more to post it, I have to say, but we're very proud.
Sorry to interrupt, this is completely irrelevant to what you were saying, Annie, but because he was taking a mickey out of me, one of my guys in Fruitworks last night sent me an email, and it said, Paul, we've had a post for a particular company, but the guy that runs it's not here. What do we do? And I went, was it on Twitter or on Facebook? And he went, you numbnuts. It was the mail. I went, really? People still send us letters? I didn't know.
Wow.
So where do we go from here, Annie? What's next in this little fervid entrepreneurial brain of yours that's been ticking away and doing all these lovely, wonderful things? What's the plan?
Well, Paul, I think at the moment, as we only opened the gallery last week,
right.
I need to give myself a little bit of breathing space on this. However, on Thursday, we will be showcasing N.B. Gurung's art at the Tunbridge Wells International Art Fair
right.
for 4 days, Thursday okay. to Sunday. I think it's a really successful show, so I'm really hoping for great things there. But I'd just like to say, somebody else that we're actually showcasing in the gallery at the moment is a guy called Max White.
Right.
Max is 17. He's just left Sevenoaks School.
Wow.
Saw his work in the Oxo Tower in London when the Sevenoaks School were having their art exhibition, but also saw it in the art studios at Sevenoaks School. Mm. And I just looked at it and thought, wow, this guy is going places. So Max is becoming a little star in his own right, I can tell you. So we're hoping very much to be working with him in the future.
Fantastic.
And he's going to be at the Tunbridge Wells International Art Fair too.
Fantastic. If we want to find out more about all the things that you're doing and this wonderful art and everything that you're involved in, how do we do that, Annie?
Right, well, there are several ways of doing it. I mean, if you email me, annie@griersongalleries.com.
Mm-hmm.
The website for the cookbook is ultimatenepalesecookbook.com.
Right.
And Grierson Galleries is grierson.galleries.com.
Cool. We've got a link to Grierson Galleries on the Kent Business Radio website at the moment. I believe you're still in the process of developing the website.
Absolutely, yes.
But it will be there anyway. Once the website is fully live, you'll still be able to access it from that link.
Yeah.
So we'll leave the link there forever so that you can go and find that when it's up. But do get in touch. Do have a look. Do go and visit the gallery. What's the opening times of the Sevenoaks Gallery?
We're Tuesday to Saturday, 10 till 4, but we are very flexible. If you wanted to come and have a personal view, please get in touch with me and we can organise that, no problem at all.
Fantastic. And people will be able to see some of the art of both Nurung and...
N.B. Gurung and Max White. It's on until the 15th of July.
Cool.
And then we'll be showcasing somebody else in August.
Fantastic. Annie, thank you so much for that. What a fabulous story. I just absolutely love things like that. People that just take an opportunity, see it, exploit it, make it happen, do things, and all of a sudden you've got a whole new world of things in front of you that you just never expected to happen. And I just think that's brilliant. Annie Watson, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunk Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Cool. Wow. Good stuff. We've still got tweets coming in all over the shop. We've still got emails. We've still got our news roundup for AFSB to do. And we haven't got very long left of the show, to be honest. So, Martin, do you want to kick off with something while I just...
Absolutely.
Recover me Twitter.
So there is a new asset finance fund that's been set up through the British Business Bank. The British Business Bank are actually responsible for some brilliant initiatives. They do the Startup Loans Programme, amongst other things.
Yes, absolutely.
But they have made available £51 million. A nice, I don't know why.
Oh,
they
a bit of pocket money.
I didn't know why they didn't round it down or round it up, but it's £51 million.
Well, they didn't want to see random and just hit 50 on the nose, did they? You know, I think they could have been a bit more, I don't know, they could have done 51,202 or something.
But they didn't. It's £51 million. They have a partnership with an independent loan provider called Henry Howard Finance.
Right.
The investment, which is 50% guaranteed by the European Investment Fund, I don't know why they need to get involved, but they are involved. Basically is there to help small businesses, small and medium-sized businesses, access asset finance more readily than they might be able to do by going through the traditional channels in the capital markets. So if you want to find out more about that, there is a news story on the britishbusinessbank.co.uk website. I'm not quite sure how long it's going to take for that money to come down the pipe, as it were, but if you are considering asset finance for your business and you are perhaps struggling to raise that money, this might be a good vehicle for you.
Cool. I just got a message come up on my screen which really threw me for a minute. It just says duck off.
Duck off.
Duck off. It's on one of my technical screens. Not on. It just says duck off. But now duck's back on again, so apparently it's all right.
You must have turned your duck off.
Obviously, yeah. We've had a tweet from New Appointments Group that says, do you know what, Paul? We're feeling very hungry after all that talk about Nepalese food. We'll pop out and grab some at Everest Inns. Why not? Absolutely.
I think that's probably the one business they haven't got down at Discovery Park at the moment, a Nepalese restaurant.
Hey, so, opportunity. Gap in the market. Gap in the market.
You know what to do, Andrew.
Yeah. We've had a tweet from the lovely Laura Upton, who says, Vanilla Web, could we have a Business Bunker mention, please? We specialise in horse insurance. Equestrian stuff. Horse insurance and looking at campaigning for road safety with horses. So do give Laura a follow. Brookhurst Risk is her Twitter account. BROOKHURSTRISK. Brookhurst Risk. And they're a specialist insurance broker that specialise in the equestrian market. And they're also running a campaign about horsey road safety.
And I think Laura is also part of the Advanced Business Group that meets in, networking group that meets in Faversham every Tuesday morning. In fact, I think they were meeting this morning. So they're a really nice group of people.
And the lovely Joanne Frey has tweeted about something I've been tweeting out for the last week or so about cybersecurity. Small businesses are now being hit badly. In fact, small businesses are more likely to be a target of cybercrime and scamming than big businesses. And Joanne has responded to one of my tweets by saying that cybercrime is a hugely hot topic, and her company, Harlequin CDIS, that's their Twitter handle, Harlequin CDIS, would love to come and help you sort it out if we can have a shout out. They specialise in protecting and clearing up and stopping cybercrime for small companies. So there you go.
I've got a very interesting initiative here called the New Waste Exemption Registration Service. So basically the Environment Agency it's claimed that nearly 10,000 waste exemptions have been registered by business owners in England using their new online registration service introduced in March this year. And I think what this enables small firms to do, so firms that handle small quantities of waste or low risk waste, like agricultural materials, tyres, for example, can actually apply for a waste exemption permit without charge if they meet certain criteria, rather than paying for an annual environmental permit that they would need to apply for.
Fantastic.
So there isn't a website address here, but I would Google the Environment Agency. I'm sure there's some information on there, but that might help, again, save small businesses some time and money on that level.
Cool. I'm getting threats now Twitter.
Not from Slope Off Friday.
No, I'm getting threats from young, thrusting racing drivers that are threatening to sort me out on the Butmore Park track. Right. I'm sure they will. At my age, I can barely see, let alone drive fast. We're getting dozens and dozens and dozens of tweets, and I will try and keep up with them all. Eden Valley Chamber are listening in, just down the road from Hever, in fact, they say, Martin, where you were playing golf. They got one of your balls, I think.
Yeah, I did lose a few.
Yeah, apparently. Fruitworks have tweeted, just to, you know, complete the circle. We're expanding our co-working space in Canterbury. Can we have a shout-out, please, Vanilla Web? Do give them a follow, Fruitworks CO on the Twitter. And their website is fruitworks.co, and they are vastly expanding their co-working and community workspace. They're in the centre of Canterbury, so do check them out. Also, we asked for a shout-out from Andrea Barker, who is Andrea BC Coach on the Twitter. I don't think she's actually a coach in terms of one with wheels on. I think she's a coach in terms of information, support and help and mentoring.
Sally Marshall has tweeted in and she said, can we have a shout out for ABC Networking, which is happening Thursday morning at the Blacksmith's Arms, which I think is just off Junction 7, although I'm rubbish with motorway numbers. But it's a great networking event. That's this Thursday, ABC Networking, 7 o'clock.
Fantastic. Red Sails Faversham have asked for a tweet out. They have a Chapel Down Wine vineyard visiting and tasting session going on, and there is a whole website link where you can book it, which I can't read because it's been Twitter shortened. So follow them on the Twitter, Faversham Hotel. Is their Twitter handle?
If there are any golfers out there, yeah, coming back to golf again, I'm a bit one-dimensional, aren't I? I do do other things apart
far
from golf.
Far be it from me to say that, Martin, as if I would... four! What, sorry, what?
I happen to know that it's the North Foreland Golf Club Open Week this week, which is an opportunity for golfers who aren't members of North Foreland to play at the club for a much reduced rate. And there is a team medley medal comp tomorrow, so blimey. I think it's best from 2 on a par 4, best from 3 on a par 5, something like that. And I happen to know that there are spaces available if you can get a team of four together for tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon. So get in touch with the lovely Pauline, who works in the office at North Foreland. It's open week. Play it for next to nothing.
Fantastic. Carl from Kent have asked for a tweet out. Hi, Vanilla Web. Hi, Martin. Hi, Business Bunker. Can we have a shout out, please? If you want to buy or sell your car locally, carsfromkent.com. We've got dozens more tweets. I can't... Western Hanger Castle, can't wait for Motown Magic, but we mentioned that earlier, didn't we? I think... Do you know what we need to do now, Martin? Is...
Channel Radio News Update.
I think it's that time in the show where we read you the Federation of Small Business News Update. What do you think?
Let's do it.
New rollout plan for fibre by BT. BT Openreach announced the first of 9 locations this week that will have access to a new fibre to the premises FTTP product specifically designed for small businesses, offering ultra fast speeds of up to 1 gigabyte per second. I don't believe it, but there you go. They're not my favourite company, BT. Mm. No. Nah. Mm. We shall see. We've been promised this before, but we shall see.
Isn't there some industry watchdog, Ofcom, or someone like that, that's actually responsible for monitoring all these false claims and, you know,
we
holding these people to
account,
to task. Yeah, exactly, when they don't deliver 1 gig per second. And it's nonsense, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. MPs call for more small businesses on the local enterprise partnerships, the LEPs. The Communities and Local Government Select Committee has published a report which echoes the FSB's concerns about small business representation on local enterprise partnership boards. So there you go. We'll wait with bated breath to see the outcome of that, I'm sure, Martin.
Just going back to apprenticeships, I have a question.
Yeah.
Would you like to take on a craft apprentice? And we were talking to Nigel earlier on about French horns. Mm. Those are the orchestral instruments rather than anything else. And it says the question here is, if you are a traditional skills-based company, the Queen Elizabeth Scholarship Trust is seeking your thoughts on apprenticeships. Please give your view here at SurveyMonkey. Basically, their goal is to help craft businesses grow commercially and ethically in order to sustain their traditional skills and their industry, I guess, at the end of the day. So
absolutely,
quite an important initiative, perhaps, for those more niche skills, craft-based kind of industries. I mean, I'm just driving through Kent again at the weekend. The number of thatched roofs that I saw,
and
that
absolutely
must be another industry where specialist Nigel wants to come in here.
I mean, we've worked with the longest barn in I think in Kent. Or they've recently approached us last year about heritage apprenticeships. We're happy to run heritage apprenticeships. It's just always down to the sort of the volume of numbers. Our traditional areas do cover it, but say if someone needs a speciality and there's a volume there, we're always looking to deliver it for them.
Fantastic. Good stuff.
So you can bypass that survey and go straight to Mid Kent College and just action it.
Bob's your uncle.
There you are.
Thatch your roof. Yeah, why not? Bit of masonry work and all that. Cool. Andrew Knott, who is the FSB representative for Kent for membership, has said if you'd like to learn more about the FSB, you can contact me on 07747114627. That's 07747114627. Or just follow Andrew on the Twitter, A-Knott20. That's A-K-N-O-T-T-20. Follow him on the Twitter. He says we offer free business banking for life with the Federation of Small Business. So do get in touch if you're interested.
Going back to finance and asset finance, there is a new British finance guide, a latest edition that's just been published. So if you're a business potentially looking for finance in your business, whether it be asset finance or any other finance, frankly, this might be a really good starting point, a useful guide to actually point you in the right direction. That will help you probably then find the right kind of provider for your business. So it's called the new British Finance Guide. I haven't got a link. It would probably be too long anyway. But I'm sure if you Googled that, you'd be able to download a PDF copy of it or something.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Small Business Saturday.
Ooh.
Applications are now open. I know it's a long way off, but the applications are now open for this year's Small Business 100. It's a great opportunity to highlight your business in the lead up to Small Business Saturday, which this year is taking place on December the 3rd. Last year, a quarter of a million Small Business 100 FSB members gained exposure on social media and in the local press. Apply before June the 30th for the chance to be on this year's list. And you can apply by going to smallbusinesssaturdayuk.com/smallbiz100. That's smallbusinesssaturdayuk.com/smallbiz100.
Fantastic. I've got a brilliant workshop here called Preparing for Growth. So this is the first in a series of free seminars that aims to help small and medium-sized businesses and startups in and around the Tunbridge and Morling and surrounding areas to grow and develop their businesses. So there'll be expert presentations on developing and protecting your ideas, so IP, for example, marketing your business, and there'll be how it can work, some first-hand experience from a local entrepreneur as well. So a very kind of hands-on, practical, preparing for growth workshop. It's on Thursday, the 30th of June, from 5:30 to 7:30, and it's in the committee room, the Gibson Building, Gibson Drive, West Morling. So that's Preparing for Growth.
Fantastic. The FSB make us aware that there's a new tech service to opt out of marketing calls. And it's been launched for mobile phone users, and they can send a simple free text message to opt out of unsolicited sales and marketing calls from today. The text to register service was launched by the Telephone Preference Service and Ofcom, who we were talking about earlier. And it enables mobile phone users to add their number to the UK's official Do Not Call database by texting TPS and then their email address to 78070. So you text TPS, then your email address, and then text it to 78070.
You've given me all the finance ones to read out this
week. Well, I thought you were quite good with money, that's why.
I've got another finance message here to read out. This one's very interesting again. A review of the Enterprise Finance Guarantee has been published. So the Enterprise Finance Guarantee provides a government guarantee for loans made by lenders when perhaps the credit history of the business is questionable. So it enables basically small firms that might not otherwise be able to access finance in the open marketplace to actually take advantage of a vehicle that is guaranteed by the British Business Bank. And the review has found that the scheme is effective, but it recommends that there should be a wider variety of financial products and accredited lenders available under the scheme. And I guess that's always going to be one of the problems. If you want to borrow money and you've got a questionable track record in terms of being able to repay that money, then clearly there aren't going to be as many people that want to lend you money.
Absolutely.
So hopefully this review will lead to an expansion of the number and type of lenders that are actually in place. But Enterprise Finance Guarantee, I would imagine, would also be something worth Googling if you are looking for business finance.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, I got an email this morning from a government department asking me to go and present to them some of my thoughts and feelings on what to do next year about providing small business finance and what I felt was the needs of small businesses. So it's going to be interesting to see how much notice they take of what I can input to that. And I do have some ideas on that. But so far the scheme's been really, it's been a really good scheme and it's worked really well. And now they're looking to grow on it and improve it and make it work better. There's a new tool that shows the deficit in skills by area. IPPR and analytics firm Burning Glass Technologies have developed a new tool to tackle the mismatches that exist in many parts of the country between the skills that are needed by employers and those that are available in the local workforce. Interesting stuff, isn't it? It's the first freely available tool of its kind in the UK and is intended to be used by national and local decision makers, education and training providers and employers and to address this critical issue. The tool is called Where the Work Is, and you can find out more by going to their website, which is wherethework.org. And what you do, because I tried it, is you put in a postcode and it will tell you in that postcode how many jobs by sector are available and what the level of skill available is in that area. It's a very interesting concept, and it's one the American government had many, many years ago. They used to have a thing called the DOT, which is the Dictionary of Occupational Titles, and that was a massive database of everything like that that would tell you, you know, if you wanted to work as a short order chef in Ohio, what the average salary was for a short order chef in Ohio and how many people were available to do that job, you know. But the American government abandoned that database about 10 years ago, but recently replaced it with a new, I don't even know what it's called, but they replaced it with a new database that is similar to this. But this, as far as I know, is the first time in the UK we've had something similar. So do check it out. Have a play with it. Wherethework.org. Really good resource if it works really well.
I'm going to go slightly off track here.
Really?
But keep it FSB very...
I'll come back.
Very FSB specific. So I'm coming back and coming back. And it's a thank you, really, to the FSB, because Supply My Business are members of the FSB.
Yep.
And we get an awful lot out of it. I mean, there's all sorts of benefits in terms of free banking and sort of very tangible benefits on that level. But what they've done recently for us is really help us market our business to other FSB members in Kent.
Right.
And the lovely Alison Palmer... has helped us, for example, run a promotion and actually advertise through some of the FSB media vehicles. So there is a magazine, for example. There is a website, and she's able to actually feature and run promotions and events for your business through that website on your behalf. So if you are an FSB member and it kind of your membership perhaps sits in the background a little bit and it's kind of, well, I'll use it when I need it. Think again, because there are a number of, as I say, media vehicles that you can tap into for your business. One of them is Business Spotlight. Well, they'll actually feature a business once a month. So you should have that conversation with them. And Alison Palmer, as I say, you'll find her on the Twitter at FSB Kent, I believe it is.
It is indeed.
It's probably your first port of call. So well done, FSB. A really proactive approach to helping your members market their business to other businesses.
Absolutely. And on that note, that brings us to the end of...
Channel Radio News Update.
So that was a news update from the FSB, the Federation of Small Business for Kent and Webby. I've got a couple of things I want to go back to talking about. There's a limited time offer, first month rent free. Located in the heart of Dartford, the Nuclear Business and Innovation Centre offers a fantastic range of fully serviced office space, virtual offices and meeting rooms for a community of innovative companies. If you're a start-up company looking to move into your first office or a growing company looking for a larger space, there's no better place to base your business. Office spaces start from a measly £250 a month, and they're flexible on 1 month agreements, so you don't have to sign up to long contracts. Dedicated centre and reception team, post handling and administrative support, on-site cafe and meeting room facilities, inclusive business support services. I have to tell you, I visited the Nuclear Centre. It's fabulous. They've got some fabulous resources there as well. They've got a brilliant, brilliant meeting room. You can write on the walls and all kinds. It's really good stuff. If you want to find out more, there's a discount code you can use that will get you this discount. And the discount code is Nucleus 1ST, Nucleus First. And if you email that discount code to k.brooker@oxin.co.uk, you can participate in getting a discounted office space at the Nucleus Business Centre, which is right by the Dartford Tunnel there in Dartford. So do have a look at that. You got anything else you want to talk about, Martin?
I've got loads. This one a little bit further ahead.
Yeah, I've got loads. I'm a big one.
Construction Expo dinner. So, you know, we were talking about Mid-Kent College being very involved with the construction industry and running seminars and events. This is actually a Kent Invicta Chamber organised event that's happening on the 6th of October at the Event Centre in Detling. So it's £42 plus VAT per person, tables of 10 for 400. So it includes reception, drinks and three-course dinner. So that is a Construction Expo dinner on the 6th of October at the Event Centre in Detling.
Is that the one, what is being spoken at by one Giles Brandreth?
It is indeed.
Yeah, yes. So you need to book that pretty quickly because the tickets for that are going to go like hotcakes when we start telling everyone that Giles Brandreth is doing the after-dinner talking.
And he's described as a former MP, TV presenter and raconteur.
Absolutely. He's a very interesting man. He's a real... What's the... Polymath, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you for that, whoever said that. He's a real polymath as well. Interesting man, so do get along. And on that note, the actual exhibition itself I can tell you about as well. The Construction Expo in the South East. It's the South East Construction Opportunities Attract Global Interests, and Construction Expo is at the heart of the region's industries. Attendances are increasing year on year. 2015 saw 3,000 visitors, included those from some of the very largest main contracting and house building firms. 2016 event, the event provides the perfect platform to build lasting business relationships. The Construction Expo's objective is to provide the construction industry with a highly focused gateway to learn, network and capitalize on the region's major construction opportunities. And boy, have we got some major opportunities in this county over the next few years. Paramount Park is due to submit their final planning permission in the end of 2017 to build the new... Sorry, guys, alternative to Disney, I can't, you know.
Ebbsfleet.
Yeah, you've got Ebbsfleet Garden City coming along. You've got Crossrail. You've got the third crossing, wherever they put it. So loads of huge construction projects, all scheduled to happen in Kent over the next 5 to 10 years.
You're having a new conservatory as well, aren't you, I heard?
No, I'm all done with business. I'm all done with expanding. I didn't do it myself. Somebody did it for me. Built a huge extension on my house because I am that stupid. Yeah.
You needed the space, didn't
I needed the space because basically I'd run out of rooms and it was either build an extension or get the Hoover out.
It's for all those ladies networking events.
Yeah, and I can't stand hoovering, so I built an extension. So basically I've got a few more rooms I can go in now before they get dirty again.
I've got a bone to pick with you, actually, Paul.
Oh, because, really?
Yeah, I was listening to your choice of music for the show today, and I thought there might be one song by a band called The Clash that you might play.
Well, I'm so fed up with this damned EU referendum that I'm trying to blot it out of my mind now. But I know the song that you refer to, Should I Stay or Should I Go? And I have to tell you, what's his face? His name's just gone completely out of my head.
David Beckham?
No, the lead singer of The Clash.
I can't remember his name either.
Oh, it's just gone completely out of my mind. Anyway, my claim to fame is he gobbed on me once.
That was all the rage back then.
It was all the rage back then, yeah. I was in the Brown Cow in Fulham, and they were an unheard-of band, and they were one of the first punk bands out, and they were on stage, and they were spitting, and he got me right on top of the head. And in those days, I actually had hair as well, which made it even worse. Yeah.
You've changed the subject, Paul, because I know our two listeners are dying for you to tell them which way they should vote on Thursday.
No, I'm not going to do that. You've got to make up your own minds. It's one of the most crucial votes. All I would say to you is, you go to the Kent Business Radio website. We have a EU debate that took place at Seven Oaks School 5 weeks ago with a panel from each side that set out the arguments in a very respectful way. One of the problems with this whole debate is it's degenerated into a Punch and Judy fight, and I'm really fed up with it. The thing I've learnt about this is just how bad our politicians are from all sides of the fence here. It has been ridiculous. the amount of scaremongering, false stories, poor data, and politicking that has gone on has been a disaster. I can't wait to get it out of the way, to be honest. And I know which way I'm voting. I know which way some other people are voting. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. You make up your own mind. But at the end of the day, I've really, really, really got fed up with it. And too many people have fallen out over this. And it's something that's going to have recriminations, no matter which way we vote, for quite a long time, unfortunately. But I would urge you to vote on Thursday.
It is important. Get out and vote.
Yeah. In fact, funnily enough, the first time I ever voted, the first election in which I was eligible to vote, the first election that came up, I had been eligible for a couple of years but didn't have anything to vote for, as it were, was the first referendum back in 75.
Really?
Yeah, and that was the very first time I ever voted.
Yeah. And did you vote in?
I voted in.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. As you say, you know, mistakes happen.
Times change.
But yes, I voted in 75. But yeah, do go out and vote. We'd love you to vote. Very quickly, I need to tell you about what's coming up on Channel Radio for the rest of today. At 4 o'clock, we have the Kent Creative Show, presented by the lovely Natalie Benaig. It's for arts and culture news in Kent. So do have a listen to the Kent Creative Show. And on today's show, Natalie's guests are Kate Linfoof and Julia Groves. So do check that out at 4 o'clock. And then at 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, in his stripy socks, who will be once again bringing you a collection of music and interviews from the world of entertainment. That is followed at 7 o'clock by Mr. Jamie Andrews with...
Welcome all to the New Potato Show.
18 tracks of new, up-and-coming and unsigned music on the fabulous New Potato Show from 7 till 9. At 9 o'clock, we have our comedy programme, I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet, that focuses on the hysterically funny year of 1967. I have no idea why 1967 was so hysterically funny, but apparently it is. And you can listen to that show at 9 o'clock. And then, as always, on Channel Radio, on a Tuesday, we finish off with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Cool drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
That's the Club Culture show that we round off the night with on Tuesdays with the lovely Boy George. I just want to say a huge thank you to today's show guest, the absolutely lovely racing legend and gentleman, Mr. John Surtees, and you can hear him on the 29th of June at the B2B Kent. A massive, massive thank you to the Hogmeister, Mr. Nigel Hogg of Mid Kent College, a business advisor, business support and development man. Give him a call. Call the Hogmeister. If you've got an issue with work, apprenticeships, bish, bosh, bash, or anything else, call the Hogmeister. Thank you so much. A massive, massive thank you, and an absolute pleasure also to hear from the gorgeously delightful Annie Watcham of Grierson Gallery, Grierson Publishing, the Nepalese cookbook, her fabulous gallery, which I want to visit immediately over there for MB Gurung in Seven Oaks. Thank you so much. Look forward to the Tunbridge Wells exhibition as well, and your young protege, Max. Thank you so much for joining us, Annie. Thank you so much for joining us, Nigel. Thank you, Martin. We will be back next week.
Goodbye.
Have a good week.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Cool.